Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lipcomb. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want and where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lipo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.
Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lipo.
And I'm Big JD.
This is show 34 of the Jabbercast.
Holy cow, we're almost ready for a...
recap.
What is the reunion show?
No recaps
yet. Recap.
Another 16 shows before we do another recap.
Okay.
Do we have 16 shows?
I'm going to hold you to that. We got it on tape.
Tape? There's no tape here.
No tape?
No. It's all ones and zeros. You got it on ones and zeros. My voice is... been chiseled in ones and zeros.
Chiseled.
Yes. Just like your body.
Shake your body. Backstreet's back.
Backstreet's back.
Oh, yeah.
You're such a goof. Holy
I'm sorry.
Moly.
It's all right.
So, how much ephedrine did you take this morning?
Just a couple shots.
Whoa. A little bit of green tea.
Yeah.
He's ready.
There's caffeine in this as well.
That's what I mean. That's why I'm mentioning it. Mm-hmm. I'm drinking green tea at your place sometimes, and the bag has been sitting there for a long time. After I'm done, I got like a little zzzz.
Yeah, green tea will do that. I don't go with the decaffeinated.
But there is some decaffeinated in the Jabbercast studios at your place.
There is decaffeinated stuff if you want it.
Yeah. I remember you guys mentioned when we did the Easy Mac podcast the other day.
Well, a cup of tea, caffeinated tea, is not going to be like a cup of caffeinated coffee. So if I ever have a coffee, which is very rare, Sunday mornings usually only.
Very rare. Every 7 days or so.
Yeah, but it's got to be decaf because of the other stuff.
Cool. I see. By the way, I'm now in charge of people getting a hold of us.
Oh, okay.
And the only way that you can get a hold of us during showtime, which is Sunday mornings, 11 o'clock, is on Yahoo Messenger.
That's right. Username?
The Jabbercast.
Or call 1-7-800-326-H5, extension 271-H64. If you want to reach us directly, get on the air.
No. But please, Yahoo Messenger, hop on.
Yeah,
I know. I talked to a couple people and they said, I try to get on iChat and all that stuff, and we're done with that.
That's right.
Yahoo Messenger, because it's just a good idea to have one standard, and this is a good standard to use.
Yeah, it seems that stations use this, and I don't really know why, but I guess it's, we did a whole show on that yesterday. Right here, somewhere. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So anyways.
The Jabbercast this week is about what, Big JD?
The Jabbercast?
Yeah. This week, the Jabbercast is about...
Oh, this week. Yeah. Okay. I'm still on...
ephedrine.
I'm on the Easy Mac show. That's what I'm on. What am I talking about?
I don't know.
That doesn't get broadcast on here or anywhere.
No, it's private. You can only get that by paying...
EasyMacPodcast.com. No, by paying what?
Paying
you wouldn't let anybody pay me yesterday.
$100 per show. It wasn't yesterday that we did that, was it?
Well, yeah.
No, it was Friday.
Right.
And today's
yesterday?
Today's Sunday.
Whoa, I missed a day somewhere, lost a day in American holiday.
You were busy.
Yeah, I've been very busy. Didn't sleep much last night either, I'll tell you that.
How come?
A couple hours.
How come?
I don't know.
Just too...
When I have to get up early, I never can sleep. I don't know why. I sleep a couple hours. I had to go to London last week. Slept an hour and a half before I had to go there. And then this morning I had to go out and meet a buddy of mine. I went out for breakfast this morning and had to get up pretty early because I had to do the exercises, pack everything up and all the crap. And
so you fit in exercises, breakfast, and the Jabbercast all before noon.
Yeah. Shower, everything.
Don't smell like you showered. Oh, never mind. That's the eggs. We had some eggs in the Jabbercast studio this morning.
That's right. Hard-boiled or otherwise?
They were hard-boiled.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to be some deviled eggs is actually what they were going to be.
Speaking of devil.
Uh-oh. It's Beelzebub.
The Antichrist, the Book of Revelations, and the end days.
Yeah.
That's what the show's on this week.
That's right.
The end of days, Antichrist, all that sort of stuff. The end of the world.
Right.
The end of time. Mm-hmm. The end of the Mayan calendar.
Yes. That is literally the end of time.
And all that stuff.
I hear the world's going to end at 12 o'clock on May 27th, 2007. right after the show is done.
Yeah, is that today?
That's today.
Oh, well, let's hurry up and get this in then.
Well, we got time. We got the whole hour.
Oh, okay. Everybody's okay.
Yeah. The last thing you want to do on this earth is listen to the Jabbercast. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's the last thing I want to do. If I was me.
Where do you want to start as far as this cheery topics goes?
This cheery topic on the end of the world.
Yeah.
Is going to be kind of neat, actually. It's kind of an intriguing.
It is intriguing.
And very interesting. I wouldn't say story, but topic. Why not start with, the Antichrist? Because that's part of what this is all about, the Antichrist coming.
Okay.
And the coming of Christ as well.
That's right.
It's a whole big thing.
That's
we needed your dad for this, I bet you. That would have been neat. No?
Oh, for sure. He would have a very definitive opinion.
We wouldn't get any words in, probably.
Probably not. Mm-hmm. But you say the Antichrist, but there's lots of stories of where the end of the world is going to come. The Antichrist is
part of that.
Is part of
but
one
that's
story.
Part of the battle of Armageddon and everything. That's the New Testament, and that's the
Book
of
Revelation.
Supposedly the third or last world war and the Book of Revelation, right?
That's right.
What'd I say?
Nothing. I'm saying that's one story. I mean, there's other sources. For
well, I think in different religions, probably find a lot of different things, but it still seems that the biggest thing is this Mayan calendar.
Oh, there's another one,
yeah. And what's that?
The Mayan calendar is a whole different thing. That is just the end of time.
Yeah.
Whereas basically, what we're talking about is a religious
thing. Is yeah,
and
the war and all that stuff. But I think it does all seem to come into play because there's things that take place at the end time. And I think war is part of it. And some of evolution is part of it. What's supposed to happen.
Evolution, really?
Well, the Iron Age into the Golden Age and the evolution of time and what's supposed to happen at a particular time and what happens every so many thousands of years is what goes around is supposed to come around.
Is that where that phrase comes from?
I don't know, but that all sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
I spun somebody's head. Anyway, the Antichrist.
Okay, let's start with
pretty self-explanatory. The opposite of Christ.
Yes, and what part does he have to play in the end of the world?
Well, it's sort of the Satan thing, and Satan versus the Messiah.
Right, but the Antichrist, isn't he supposed to be just like, he's not Satan himself, he sends his...
Messengers or...
It's not a messenger, the Antichrist is his, there's a word for that kind of person, mercenary or, so he sends out his...
Dude.
His dude, yeah, whatever that name is. And supposedly, when he comes to Earth, he is perceived as a savior or a person who is coming to heal all our ills. He has the answers to all of our problems. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Do you know that, or was that what you were going to say about the Antichrist? Oh, that thing.
Well, I just basically as far as I go with the Antichrist is just that it's the opposer, really. So whether whatever he does and sends and however he works, he's the opposer of Christ.
Right.
So,
but he is supposed to be perceived as someone to come here. It's like he's faking us out, basically. That's what it says in the book.
To fool everybody, I guess. He's opposed to Christ by thinking to be in the place of Christ.
Exactly.
It's a false Messiah or whatever.
Perfect.
And apparently he's supposed to come. And that ties in with the Book of Revelation, because all these things are supposed to happen in the end times,
mm-hmm.
when this battle of Armageddon is supposed to occur, and this war, and this war supposedly is supposed to be part of the evolution of how things are supposed to be for us as time goes by.
Yes,
there's supposed to be a war.
Right, and part of that war is called the Tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with the Tribulation?
Well, somewhat, sure.
Okay. there are many views on what takes place during the tribulation. There's certain events among Christians who hold a futurist view of the tribulation. There are differing views about what will happen to Christians during the tribulation. And this is all...
That's like judgment and so forth.
Right. The pre-tribulationists believe that all Christians then alive when it happens will be taken bodily up to heaven. And that when people get taken off earth and brought up to heaven, that's called the rapture.
And isn't there supposed to be a certain amount of people? Like, what in the world was that?
I bet you that was Yahoo Messenger.
No, that might have been our timer as well, because we need to take a break.
Yeah. Well, we were getting deep there before we got
That's right. And we'll continue talking about tribulation and so forth. How many people are going to get taken to heaven?
Right. There's when people get taken off the earth... I remember my dad first mentioning this to me. They get taken off the earth bodily. You're driving your car. Whoop, shoof, you're gone. You're gone.
That's right.
You're gone.
To car heaven. And everything.
I don't know about the car and everything, but...
how are you going to get around up there?
You're going to use your angel's wings. Anyway, the pre-tribulationists believe that when the tribulation begins, that's when all Christians go to heaven. The mid-tribulationists believe that the rapture of the faithful will occur halfway through the tribulation, but before the worst part of it occurs. The seven-year period, which is how long the tribulation is supposed to last,
right,
kind of a long time, mm-hmm. is divided into half. There is the beginning of sorrows, and then there is the great tribulation proper.
When's this rupture occur? Because that's going to hurt.
Rapture, oh, rapture, okay. Rapture. And I don't make a rap joke. Is Run DMC going
to I'm not. I just that's what's back to the dinosaur age, the raptors?
Raptors, yes.
Rapture, okay.
Tell us.
I'm done monkeying around.
Okay. And the post-tribulations, of course, they believe that the Christians that are left after the tribulation is done, which is there's going to be tons of, you know, death and destruction and whatever. And the ones that are left standing, those are the ones that are going to end up going to heaven. So that's supposed
to be. And there's supposed to be, isn't there supposed to be a certain number, though? Like 144,000 or 444,000 or something?
Yeah, there is a number.
I think it's 144,000.
Really?
There's a lot of numbers get thrown around in the book of Revelation, that's for sure, and Armageddon discussion and so forth.
Okay. You don't have any numbers with you. I got tons of info here, but I don't have the...
I don't think I got into so deep as to have numbers of how much of what goes where.
I got just to interrupt you, I got DJ Rick on Yahoo Messenger.
And what's Rick saying?
He's saying that you just played probably an internet, Save Internet Radio spot, correct?
I did, yeah.
Okay, he's saying that that's already gone before Congress, so that's all done. You don't have.
Oh, okay.
We don't have to play that anymore. Oh, he says.
Good. Okay.
Good.
I mean, good. I'm good. It went before Congress, and I think there was something good came out of that. I think.
Oh, did you read something about that?
I heard something about it, and I just been like on the go constantly, so I don't know exactly what's happening. But I think something there was some good there, and he'll probably tell you in a minute.
Isn't that the great thing about Yahoo? I was going to say I'll check it out during the break, but I'm sure Rick's going to let us.
Oh yeah.
Let us know.
He's on top of it.
Okay. Awesome.
So this tribulation, Book of Revelation, is basically a whole part of the New Testament and a biblical book composed of apocalyptic literature.
Correct. A lot of people believe that in the Book of Revelations, all those events have already happened.
I believe that around the time of even Second World War, they were thinking that, you know, this is the time and this is what's going on and this is, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. there's so many things that can be attributed to what's said in the books, possibly, but I don't think it's come yet.
Do you think any of the events in the Book of Revelation have taken place?
I think it's quite possible because I think we're on our way to, isn't there information on the last pope, which is we're just one away, I think, or something, and the New World Order and all that kind of stuff. Well, I think that's all part of this whole thing. There's going to be, there's only supposed to be one more pope after this guy, and that's part of the end of everything.
Is there like there's supposed to be so many popes and that's it?
Yeah.
That's all you get is so many popes.
And after that, then something goes on. And New World Order and... you know, all that kind of stuff.
NWO.
Joining of forces. Not for the good of everyone, I don't think, but.
That's interesting how war takes, how what place war takes in the end of the world. But meanwhile, we've been fighting wars since the beginning of time.
That's right.
What's up with war anyway?
But this is supposed to be the war of all wars.
The war of all wars. I think they said something like that about the First World War, too. But I don't know.
Yeah, could be. Well, yeah. All these books were
written before. This is the war to end all wars. Well, until the next one, anyway.
And then you get into the all the numbers, like I said, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven plagues, and all this stuff. And a lot apparently goes on through that time. And Armageddon, of course, being the battle.
The battle?
That's the big battle between Satan and God. And in the book of Revelation, Christian New Testament, and the apocalyptic catastrophe, and so forth, and so such.
Don't say so forth, and so on, and so it shall be.
Amen.
Amen. You know any good jokes now?
I've been throwing them in here and there.
You're too funny.
But like I said, before the Second World War, the First World War was commonly referred to in newspapers as and books as Armageddon.
Yes.
In addition to the
war to end all
term
wars.
Of Great War.
Yes.
The Great War, yeah.
Yeah.
And end of days. End of days or last days. Usually referring to the idea of basically in the three Abrahamic religions. Mm-hmm. Abrahamic.
No, Abrahamic.
I just bought an Abrahamic. It's really nice. Yeah, they got it in the backyard.
Is it freestanding or do I need trees for that one?
It comes with trees.
Comes with trees.
You can't use it for a long time, but
Abraham trees.
Why are you mocking Abraham?
Because he tried
Islam,
to kill his
son. Judaism,
know.
And Christianity.
That's
the
right.
End times often, but not always, depicted as a time of tribulation, like you had spoken about, precede the predicted coming of the messianic figure. I'm working on that right now, too, my messianic figure. It's very messy right now. That's the stage I'm at.
The messianic?
Yeah, messianic. You say messianic, I say messianic. Sounds Italian to me.
There's a word for the whole Christian belief of the end of the world. And I'm trying to... I just learned about it as well. I was doing research for this show. Astology.
That's I saw that in a porno film.
Did you?
Yeah, I think it was called Astology.
Oh, doctor! I need a probe of my astology. Oh, where's the show going down
Deep,
the toilet?
Dark annals of Armageddon.
What?
That's what we're talking about today, folks.
No, let's not go down the gutter.
12, 14 left?
No, two. It's a two, buddy. You got a two there.
You know, I get a two for that.
I want to find out what it is, because there are different beliefs as far as the Abrahamic. I love that
it's
word.
Hammock.
We're having ham today for dinner.
Oh, that's rather hammock. Rather hammock day. Are you celebrating American holiday?
No.
Being American and all? You have something going on.
We got something going on. And it's another Christian thing. Another Abrahamic event. Our two sons are making their confirmation, which is a sacrament in Christianity. I got Big JD, the Jewish guy, with me here. He's kind of giving me the head sideways thing. Hmm? Confirmation is when you're basically, it's like
I had that done when I was a baby.
No, bar mitzvah. Did you have a bar mitzvah?
Yes, I did.
Okay, this is kind of like a bar mitzvah,
right?
But we don't make such a big
the confirmation. Isn't that like the is the communion anything to do with any of that?
No, communion is first communion. That's in grade 3 or 4. I think.
Okay,
so that's the first time you're able
not
to
that
take...
familiar with all that.
Yeah, no, obviously not. Confirmation is like you're now an adult. You're allowed to go. Not really an adult, but you're old enough to understand the concepts, so now you're a full-fledged member of the church.
Right.
That's what confirmation is.
Similar thing to the bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah.
What's a bat mitzvah?
A bat mitzvah is for a female, 13 years old. They have a bat mitzvah. The boys have a bar mitzvah.
Do they make a big deal out of the bat mitzvah?
Sure do.
Do they?
Yeah.
Is it like...
Usually you tend to think of it as the male, but becoming a man in the Jewish faith. But they have them for women as well.
Is that like being like a debutante?
Didn't we already go there?
I don't know, maybe.
That's another movie.
Debutante?
Oh, yeah.
Debutante.
Debutante Dallas.
We're going to have to take a little break right here. Rick got back to me and...
Rick got back?
He says that... the result of the internet radio thing is that the internet radio has been given a break and are allowed to broadcast under old system until the Congress reviews the fees.
Yeah, till further notice.
That's awesome.
I knew something okay came out of it. I knew it was nothing resolved, but that'll do for this particular point in time. And as well, the Jabbercast, of course, not necessarily so affected by internet radio because we don't play musical content.
Right.
And licensing and so forth. But I wonder, and maybe Rick can let us know about this, is the effect of the station actually, you know what I mean? Licensing for the station and fees and so forth, even to have us as a talk radio show broadcast, you know what I mean? If it so affects him that the fees are like crazy to even be able to do this, I don't know if it's just music or is it station-wise to be able to broadcast. Is that affected?
No, it's just music.
To be able to play the music.
It's music. It's the recording industry that wants to add higher fees for playing streaming music.
So actual broadcasting and having the station is not affected?
No. Those rules are still in place. And
so we're going to have to go 24/7, the Jabbercast.
All right.
We're going to be up day and night.
Give me a cup of coffee and we'll go. Go at it.
Do you want to go at it?
No. The word I was looking for is eschatology.
And yeah, I don't know that word.
It's from the Greek eschios, meaning last, and is a part of a theology and philosophy, which like my dad would know something about that, concerned with the final events in the history of the world or the ultimate destiny of humanity.
Wow.
Yeah, it's some deep
stuff.
That's
heavy.
It is heavy. While in mysticism, the phrase metaphorically refers to the end of reality and reunion with the divine, in many traditional religions, it is taught as an actual future event prophesied in sacred texts such as the Book of Revelations, or in folklore, which is the way most of the stuff that people commonly believe was spread through folklore. It was the way that most of people's beliefs on this earth were spread around, was through folklore. This person told me and this person told me, and you got to keep these stories going. That was the main thing when you're sitting around the campfire or whatever you're doing back in the day, or whenever you're sitting by the fireplace. It was important to keep these stories going because no one read the way that stuff was, all the stuff that we're talking about, really serious stuff about the end of the world and stuff like that, or God or whatever it was, was just through talking. There was nothing written down here. Read these scriptures, you know. It wasn't until like 1800 and something. What was his name? Gutenberg printed the Bible.
Gatlinburg.
No, Gutenberg.
But he was in Gatlinburg.
He was in Germany.
Gatlinburg, Germany. Everything ends with Berg. Burger. Burgermeister.
Burgermeister.
Burgermeister. Meisterburger. Put one foot in front of the other.
And soon you'll be walking.
Soon you'll be stepping off the world. Isn't the world flat and square?
Flat and round, wasn't it? Was it square, yeah?
Round and square, I think it was.
And you're going to stick
put this peg
exactly.
In this hole.
We both thought of the exact same thing at the same time. What about the Four Horsemen? Well, how do they play into the... Who are the Four Horsemen? And what about the Seven Seals?
Well... Do you want to get into Marineland first or Metallica?
Metallica, of course.
There's the Four Horsemen.
Yes,
in Marineland, you can see the SEALs. Unless, of course, you're talking about the Navy.
Then there's the Navy SEALs.
That's right.
Yes. No.
Okay.
Do you know anything about the Four Horsemen? They played a part in the...
I do know it's all part of the...
The big battle.
Aren't they the guys that brought the Frankenmuth and incense and everything to the... No, that was the Three Wise Men.
Frankenmuth.
No, that's Frankenmuth. Did you ever watch them make fudge in Frankenmuth?
Yes. Ever have a chicken dinner in Frankenmuth?
I have.
I hope so.
I've been to that big Bavarian restaurant, or what is it called? Yep. The big place there.
Bavarian Inn.
There you go. Bavarian Inn, yeah.
But there's a ton of other places that have chicken dinners in
Frankenmuth. Yeah, sure. And all over the place.
A ton of fudge places, too. And you can buy Christmas ornaments.
Is that another movie? Ton of fudge? Hey. What? You laughing? I mean, a documentary on fudge making.
They used to have that place in Trapper's Alley. Did you ever go there back in the day?
No.
It's not there now.
That's right in Detroit here or something.
Yeah, Trapper's Alley.
No, I remember the name all the time, but I never been there.
Yeah, they had a fudge place there. And it was like a audience participation thing. They used to throw it around and they used to sing songs. Everybody sing along. And then everybody the fudge goes up and down.
Everybody be fudge packing.
You don't have to. You got to take us down the lowest common denominator.
Deepest, the darkest bowels of Armageddon. Everyone's going to have nightmares tonight.
I am.
Not going to be about the end of the world, though.
No.
You were on the Four Horsemen.
I was, and I'll tell you.
And tell us a little bit about the Four Horsemen.
Well, while I was on them, I was going to go down some porno movie again. But we're not going to do that. The Four Horsemen, actually, I was looking up the Seven Seals. The Seven Seals is a concept found in the Book of Revelations, as we know, which states that when the world reaches its end, seven seals will be opened. A book with seven seals is first mentioned in chapter 5, verse 1. And so these seals contain symbols of death, famine, world wars, martyrdom, earthquakes, and...
trumpets. I had mentioned earlier, though, but what is it?
The Antichrist.
Right.
Okay.
I had mentioned the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven plagues. There's a lot of numbers thrown around. Four horsemen.
Six.
Some say three. Some say five horsemen.
Do they?
No.
No. Then there's 666.
That's right.
The number.
And upside down, that's 999. Add all the nines together. That's 27. It's crazy.
Why would you turn it upside down and why would you add them?
Why not?
Well, what happens when you add three sixes?
Everything means something.
You get 18.
With this revelation in the Book of Armageddon. They do all kinds of crazy things. There's hidden things all over the Bible. 999, turn one of them, and it's 996, and that's the area code, and you can call people.
You're out of hand. He's out of hand!
But are you on still Four Horsemen? Or
yeah, I'm going to get the Four Horsemen. They're mentioned in the Bible in chapter 6 of the Book of Revelation. The Four Horsemen are traditionally named Pestilence. Do you know what Pestilence is?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's war, good band.
War, famine, and death. Mm-hmm. So those are the Four Horsemen. However, this is slightly at odds with the conventional interpretation of the Bible, which actually only directly names the fourth death. Consequently, it is not possible to definitively state the intended interpretation of the horsemen. In fact, interpretations frequently reflect contemporary values and issues. The whole horseman thing, it's obviously, that's part of the folklore thing again. You know, just the way they interpret certain things.
And honestly... that may not be horsemen at all. We don't really know what that is because of the way that they interpret all these prophecies and so forth and things from the end of days and in Armageddon and the whole battle thing and everything. The way that they describe all these things can just mean something totally different. You know, they talk about birds or birds of war can mean airplanes and they, you know, I mean, so many different things. And they talk about the seals being something that's opened and books and nobody really knows what it all is.
Right.
The Four Horsemen. What exactly are the Four Horsemen in those three, you know, whatever their terms are.
Pestilence, death, war, famine, all that stuff.
But why are they the Four Horsemen? You know what I mean? Why do they term them as the Four Horsemen? What are they exactly? It's not going to be a guy on a horse that's death.
No.
But you know, it's something, but...
I think back in the day, horses were used primarily as instruments of war.
Yeah.
That's how you know, got to the village to kill everybody.
And as I was mentioning earlier, the end of days are upon us.
Are they really?
That's the Battle of Armageddon, the climax of world history. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Do you know there's a place called Climax, Michigan?
No, is there?
Yeah. Kind of funny.
There's a place called Hell, Michigan.
Hell, Michigan? Yeah. Don't have a Climax in Hell. Don't go to Hell while you're in Climax.
Jesus.
Jesus. Yes.
How about New World Order? That's something we're going to want to get into shortly for sure.
A New World Order?
New World Order is, that's a conspiracy in which a powerful and secretive group is claimed to be conspiring to eventually rule the world.
Right.
And that's some super heavy stuff.
And that theory has been around for quite a while. That, you know, and some people believe that's what they believe the Roman Empire was some kind of New World Order. That's how long that's been around. But anyway, we're going to discuss the New World Order when we come back from this break.
Hey folks, Big JD here from the Jabbercast. The Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. On every Sunday morning on A Touch of Class Radio, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's right, an hour of talk radio on the Jabbercast. A different topic every week with Big JD and Lippo.
We're back in action, right here, right now. Yes, the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo.
Sunday mornings, 11 o'clock. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
For the live show, that's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We love when they're listening live.
The Jabbercast is the New World Order.
Is it really?
No.
I hope not. Apocalypse.
But yes, the New World Order. Secretive groups.
Yes.
Claimed to be conspiring to eventually rule the world.
Mm-hmm. Did you?
With one world government. And apparently this stuff is supposed to take place as well when there are, 10 nations something to do with the Nations United and so forth.
Yes.
A certain amount of them, and it's a big...
That's one of the signs, yes.
What an interesting book, the Book of Revelation. It's a crazy story.
It is crazy. And
supposedly it's the prophecy, but...
And a lot of people believe that a lot of things have happened. And if you read into them, that's the whole thing. It's all about interpretation, you know?
Yeah, you can look at a lot of things and say that it's happened. It's even a lot of things with the Bible code and stuff, you know? They're finding a lot of things inside there that they attribute, you know, names and dates and people and places and things and everything. And whether it's real or not, we don't know.
Yeah.
We really don't know.
Yeah.
But it's amazing that they have software and it comes across all these things and finds all this information. Naming people, naming Kennedy, naming his death, naming Hitler, naming all kinds of things.
Right.
That's incredible. And what's the chances of that being in there as a, you know, like hidden messages?
Well, there was Nostradamus,
right?
Nostradamus, how you go, whatever.
Damus,
yeah.
I say.
And he had those names. He had names attached to people in history that were going to play a big part. And...
Yeah, and he wouldn't have known.
Right. Which is different from the Book of Revelation. That was just events. There was no specificity to it.
Right.
Whereas Nostradamus, he named names, I guess you'd say. And like you say, there's software that kind of makes it, you know, you go through different languages and it definitely names Hitler for one.
Isn't it very strange, though, all the different things that go... And apparently, I've heard... somehow that you can find anything in there if you can decipher.
Right.
About anybody, anything, anywhere, anytime, anything throughout history is apparently there someplace, which is really wacky.
Well, yeah.
But if that stuff is, all these, you know, important dates and events are true and real, that's something. Whoever would ever put that together and do that is had to see something. Something into the future.
That's for sure.
Interesting stuff. And
but back to the end of the world, or the New World Order.
Yeah.
Did you read Da Vinci Code?
No, I didn't.
Have you heard it?
Yes, I have.
Only the most popular book ever.
Yes, I know. And I don't have time for movies and books.
You have time for movies.
I only have time to write books and make movies.
Really? Wow. That's awesome that he does his own book writing,
yeah.
Movie making. Well, in there was the order of
hotcakes.
Order of hotcakes, yeah.
And syrup on the side.
A syrup on the side. No, there was Scion. The order of Scion.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And supposedly they wanted this secret, whatever it was, whether it was Jesus and Mary were married and they had a kid and the family is being carried on or whatever mm-hmm. the whole secret was. And supposedly they were part of this New World Order. They were in charge of what was going to happen in the future.
Right.
And well, but they got foiled by Robert Langdon and his chick girlfriend, who was a cop. Anyway, it's fiction.
We're getting too new age here. Yeah,
exactly. But a lot of people believe that the whole 9/11 thing was...
yes.
Big JD's got some pussy on his mind.
Jesus, there's another edit.
No, edit. You're just meowing at my cat.
Okay.
They believe that the 9/11 thing was a whole New World Order based event that...
Which may very well have been. We do not know.
No.
We don't know the extent of government involvement, which a lot of things sure point to the fact that there was.
Or
possible fact that there was.
The fact that nothing else... There's no way that Al-Qaeda could have known or done everything to put it in place, the events, to make that happen. A lot of people have no explanation for specific events that, you know, Al-Qaeda would have no way of doing themselves. Like the guy who supposedly was driving one of the planes, his passport was found on the street below. Mm-hmm. How does that happen?
Right, yeah.
Anyway, there's a ton of that stuff, which I guess Rosie was writing on that, on the program The View.
Right.
I think she's a believer in...
Conspiracy.
In the conspiracy, yeah. And the whole new...
I would lean more toward conspiracy, for sure.
Would you?
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe we should just do a whole show on 9/11.
Show on conspiracies, maybe.
Conspiracy, there. The conspiracy show.
Conspiracy theories.
Okay, I should write that down, because you know what? We're going to forget that.
That's right.
Definitely write that down.
And can we move on to 2012 in the Mayan calendar?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to.
Because that's got some similar things to do with the end of time. However, it seems to be relating to the end of time in a different way, a different manner. The end of an era, a spiritual enlightenment, perhaps. And they say not necessarily the end of the world, but the end of time.
Right.
An end. So that's a little bit different.
But you don't think it's the end of the world?
It's not necessarily the end of the world, no.
Oh.
The intelligent scientists and so forth, they don't necessarily believe it's the end of the world. It's the end of an age, end of an era, an enlightenment apparently of some kind, a polar shift, and those types of things, mysterious somewhat, and somewhat related to other, maybe other dimension, other life form, and those kinds of things. It's all tied in there. And that's something.
Yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm. Art Bell, has he talked about the 2012?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot of that stuff on the show. And a lot of prominent people discussing it.
Sure. I
scholars of every form and every university and every study and research and you know, so it's very important people talking about it. But then again, it's like everything else. Nobody knows. Nobody really knows.
Do you know what date in 2012 that the world is supposed to end? It's a specific date.
Yeah, you told me today at 12. And that's 12. What's 12? 12 o'clock. Add the one and the two. You got three.
Hey, who's in?
There's two of us here. Minus one.
Yeah.
Add one. That's three. No, okay, but what is the date? Give us the date.
December 21st, which is the winter solstice.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading about how this whole calendar came to be. It's called the Long Count calendar, the Mayan Long Count calendar.
Right.
Are you familiar with that, the long count?
Somewhat.
And it's based on five digits, or five places, I should say. And they go up to 13. And then they moves on to the next one. So they put the year 0.0.0.0.0, that's the beginning of their calendar. Where is that in the Gregorian calendar, the Western calendar? Mm-hmm. It's like 3,540 something BC. That's when this, that would be like the first year of the long count calendar. So how did they know in 3,500 BC when a winter solstice was going to be in the year 2012? That's like 5,000 years difference.
Do you know how they knew?
Astrology.
That's right.
So that's kind of amazing if you think about it. How
it's incredible.
People 3,500 years before Christ knew about astrology.
And they, was it only the people?
Well,
you see, that's where this whole thing comes into play. And as far as the this particular end of time Mayan civilization predicting on December 21st, 2012, something will happen to the world that we know. The world that we know. And something will happen to change our civilization, our value systems, and the way we know human civilization forever.
Ooh, that's deep.
And we're going to come back into this stuff right after this. Jabber quote. Ooh.
Ooh is right. Jabber, Ikes.
And this week's jab.
Why are you talking so slowly, BJ?
To give you more time.
Oh.
Hey, this week's jabber quote. Lippo, what do you got for us?
Well, it's brought to us by Steve and Larry.
Ooh.
They're famous for their famous quotes.
Right, and they're always related somehow to the topics of the day.
It's amazing how they do that.
And is this one?
You know, I was looking up quotes about...
I have a couple things, but they didn't really fit. What goes around comes around.
Okay.
That might have been the karma spirituality thing sure. more, but...
That fits way more than the ones I got, because...
Oh, really?
The ones I got, they all refer to movies.
Oh, really?
Okay. That's stupid. Famous quotes about the end of the world. I mean, no one said anything.
When the end comes, I know. I was just a gigolo. As David Lee Roth. In the end, the love you make is equal to the love you take. Is it the Beatles? There you go. Another quote. Fine quote.
I'm sorry, people, about the lack of a jabber quote, a real jabber quote about the end of the world. But they're dumb. The ones that I come up with is...
Yeah, it's, I don't think it's that simple to find a quote about the end of the world. I mean, there's all kinds of things said and like that, but I mean something like more quotish like we normally use,
right?
And the what goes around comes around. I don't know if that's really,
that's more karma.
You could say, use it in context to, you know, what we do as a people, and you know, as a world can come back, but I mean it seems like it's more a personal thing.
Yes, I agree. Anyway, that's this week's jabber quote brought to you by Steve and Larry. Those great, wacky guys. They didn't do a very good job this week, Steve and Larry. Come on. Do better next week, would you? Anyway, back to what we were talking about before. Oh, my Lord.
You see what it's like?
We're going to go in the 2 minutes before that.
Yeah, well...
For sure, it was 2 minutes.
Ruined everything.
I did.
No, it's okay. This is actually this is a lot of time that I don't need. I'm worried about the last 10 minutes, which is just about coming up. Actually,
yes.
And if you want to just shut that right now and start that again when I tell you, it would be a really good idea.
Okay.
In a few minutes, and to make sure that I get the last 10 or whatever.
You want the last 10? All right.
Yeah.
I got you. I know what you're saying. Okay.
But anyways, we were on the Mayan calendar in 2012, and what I had mentioned is that at that time, there is supposedly going to be a change in a civilization as we know it, our value systems, the way we know this human life forever. And what does it mean exactly? What did the Mayans see through their spiritual wisdom? And that's the whole thing. It was, they were all about spiritualism, possibly life on other planets, visited perhaps.
Yes.
Where did they gain all this knowledge?
Exactly.
And the other thing is what happened to them, which is not, is a little beyond the scope of our show today, but there's, you know, some strangeness in all that. And according to scientists, something strange is happening behind the scene. The terrestrial and solar polar reversal peaks are coming within 3 weeks of that day, December 21st.
Yes.
2012.
Yep.
And innumerable UFOs are scouting our skies regularly, apparently.
I can believe that.
And that seems to be all part of the solar flares increasing.
Oh, I want to talk about that for sure.
And number of typhoons and cyclones increasing, and it's all part of this. Floods, droughts, that's increased beyond imaginations in the last 10 years.
I couldn't have imagined it. For sure, there's going to be some weather event or events around that date, for sure, just based on what's going on in the sky.
We're somehow supposed to have a polar shift, and the axis is supposed to shift. There's supposed to be a wobble of some kind.
Oh, did you feel that?
Not yet, no. Okay. It'll be a little while yet.
But the also the sun thing I want to mention is the... There, if scientists who study the sun it goes like everything is on a cycle. Every 7 years, the sun goes through a period where all these flares show up. So there's all this solar activity,
right?
And what happens is during one 7 year period, at the end of that 7 year period, there's this activity, and it's usually light solar activity. And then the next 7 years, it's usually heavier. So for however long they've been keeping track of this stuff, they know that it's light, heavy, and it happens every 7 years. So in the year 2005, there was some solar activity, but it was super heavy. But the one before that was heavy. So that they're thinking that since this last one was as heavy as it's ever been as far as solar flares and sunspots and all that kind of stuff, which shoots dangerous protons at the Earth, the next one is going to be a heavy, heavy one. And that's going to be in the year, of course, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting stuff. And scientists who look beyond conventional science, they point out that... the hyperspace that contains our universe, it's also showing signs of something strange happening within the universe itself, and that the multidimensional time research is showing that a parallel universe may be predicting strange effects.
Parallel universe.
That's right. That's all part of this.
Do you believe in a parallel universe?
I can't say that I believe in a parallel universe. I can't say that I believe in UFOs. I can't say that I believe in a lot of the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I do believe that it's absolutely possible. We don't know.
No, we don't know. You don't believe in
UFOs. And it's very interesting stuff. No, I don't believe in them.
Okay. You don't have a...
If something happens to me, maybe, then I will. But I believe that it could be. I believe that people could have been abducted. I believe that all these things could exist. And I think a lot of that has to do with spiritualism and the mind and a lot of that as well. It's not necessarily physical, I don't think all of it is. And that's what's so strange about it all. And according to some scientists, possible that another universe is slowly starting to claim a spiritual dimension in our physical universe.
Wow.
And possible that we'll face major calamities because of the polar reversal, the sun and the earth. If it happens, possible hyperspace has to adjust suction force, known as gravity and electromagnetic force, and it's going to be crazy.
That sounds crazy.
And some of the clues that this will happen from astrophysicists, there's a big possibility a simultaneous polar reversal in Earth and Sun will throw the solar system right out of whack, and that'll cause massive upheaval in the Earth.
So do we think that maybe that all this these problems will come and then supposedly the Antichrist will come
and say... Well, not necessarily. What they say about this is that at this point in time, the extraterrestrials will officially show up and put cosmic seatbelts around us as they apply the superpower of the hyperspace to bring the solar system back to what it is today. Apparently, they might save us somehow or something. I mean, they don't want to lose us somehow for some reason. But anyways, that's the whole thing. The spiritual enlightenment, we're supposed to find out what's up with possible life on other planets and this whole big thing. And this is the switch from the Iron Age, as we know right now, to the Golden Age, which is the transformation of humankind to another era.
I can't wait.
And apparently that's happened before, like through ages, and they're termed the same, but this is like the end of what is it? A third era, I think, is their threes. Mm-hmm. Something, a Bronze Age, I guess what they call the Iron Age, and then the Golden Age, something like that. But anyways, the Golden Age is coming.
I can't wait, honestly.
Everything's coming. The UFOs are coming. Christ is coming. The Antichrist is coming. Big JD and Lippo are coming.
To you on Sunday.
To radio near you.
Sunday mornings, 11 o'clock. What if people miss this show?
If people miss the show, they can go to thejabbercast.com or the iTunes store, punch in the Jabbercast. Boom. Podcasts.
Get every
on
show.
On demand.
Every show we've ever done.
POD. Podcasts on demand.
POD.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's true.
But you can. The website has the archives, so you can listen anytime, anywhere.
And if you hear something that you want to comment about, you can send Big JD an email at bigjd@thejabbercast or
hear me out at the Jabbercast.
It's hear me out.
Do we have emails? No, we don't. I do have we do have emails.
Of course we do.
But we don't generally use them. We do hear me out at thejabbercast.com. If you have a show topic or any area discussion, you want to add something to a future show, because we do have a list of upcoming shows on the site as well, on the schedule page. Correct.
Correct.
And the My Chingo Recorder on the contact page. You can leave us a message right there. Audio.
Please do. And we'll get you on the show. Do a little ID for the show. What was that? There's all kinds of rumbling. One's coming in my headphones. One's coming from below. What the heck is going on?
Busy in the studio today.
What else I want to mention? Oh, the 2012 thing. 2012 was the first phone number I've ever had. And I had it till I was like 28 years old.
That's the only numbers that was in it?
Oh, no.
There was a prefix.
728. Okay. There was an exchange. But when we lived in Bellover, before there was an exchange and then four unique numbers, it was like 27 ring 2 or something,
Oh, yeah?
Back in the day.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always been in the city.
Okay, yeah. So when we finally got regular 7 number phone numbers, it was 728-2012.
Wow.
And till I left my
house. Your whole life you were meant to do this show.
Or I just happen to have some kind of touch on the future. There or maybe I'm the Antichrist.
Maybe you are.
Or maybe I'm the Savior. The fourth horseman. The fourth horseman.
You can't be the fourth horseman.
So I wanted to mention that. What else about the Mayan calendar?
The whole Mayan thing is incredible. Go on the internet and look up Mayan calendar 2012, and you find a lot of information that's just like, you can really dig deep in all this stuff and all the things that went on and about the Mayans and about the way that they lived and their history. And
it's awesome.
The questions of what happened to the Mayans.
We went to Cancun, and you go to the Mayan ruins. Mm-hmm.
Did you go to the Mayan ruins? Yeah.
Yep.
You got pictures?
Yes.
Cool.
Chichen Itza is where we went.
Did you call me?
It was our honeymoon.
I wasn't there.
No, you weren't there.
Oh, you were okay.
Yeah, my honeymoon with
your wife. Yeah.
I found it very interesting. And
well, it had to be, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. But you say where they go, I think everybody kind of, it's a civilization that was wiped out, but.
Yeah, but how and why and
because the
where?
Europeans came and gave them all their disease.
But apparently there's some, strange, unexplained way that they were actually totally wiped out, gone, nothing.
Well, there's still Mayan people who live there,
Well, they say there's some Mayan ancestry, but...
Yeah, if you look at the people, they look like...
But they don't know anything either.
They look like Indians.
Somebody's got to know about somebody's grandfather's grandfather's grandfather. You'd think of some kind, maybe, but... Then again, I can't know about mine either.
You don't?
Not necessarily. Not way back. I know where the last couple or few are from, but what about my ancestors from hundreds of years ago? No idea.
Yeah, that's too bad.
You know what I mean? So same kind of thing. Do you know? Do you do a family tree?
I have done a family. We traced it back to France.
Mm-hmm.
He was, back then they used to name their estates a specific name. And that's, our estate was the LaPlante. It was like, it was supposedly some ornate garden or whatever. So they just called it.
My family was all Russian and that's as far as I go back. But there's obviously history beyond hundreds of years back. And so when I look at that and think, well, where's it, what happened to everybody, blah, 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 same kind of thing, I suppose. But if you look into the Mayans, you will find that there's some strangeness to the whole thing. And especially because of the fact that the Mayans were supposedly so intelligent, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And how can such an intelligent race of people and so much knowledge of technology just disappear?
I want to say one thing.
What?
The doomsday argument. There's one more end of the world thing.
Okay.
Do you ever hear the doomsday argument?
Well, I've heard of doomsday for sure.
Well, there's a doomsday argument as far as how population goes. It's like on a graph.
And right.
That you can...
Uh-huh.
We know that there's only so many people that can be born.
Okay.
So we think that we're really close to... We're going to be...
That's the argument that there can only be so many people born?
Yeah. It's like a mathematical formula.
And where do they get that? Where's that? Where did it come from?
There's a guy who started it.
See,
and now people are hopping on the boat and saying it's a really good, cool thing. But anyway, look it up.
Yeah. Well, this is all crazy stuff that people can come up with for sure. We got some minds. Next week's show.
Oh.
I don't know what next week's show is really quick. What is it?
Okay. Sorry. I was on the doomsday argument thing.
This is doomsday right here, right now.
No, we're doing good.
Yeah, we are.
Okay,
that's... We always do good.
That's interesting how the...
We do good by our audience.
Do we?
Sure.
Okay.
We do right for them.
We don't do left for them, that's for sure. Old, new, and the switcheroo.
What's all that mean?
Well, you know, you hear tear and then squeeze the top of a milk carton to open it. Like the half print... No, I can't read this. Like the half pint ones you get in school.
Yeah, you used to tear them open and open the thing and the little spout comes out and then you pour it. But now then all of a sudden you go buy milk and you don't even think anything of it really. The side of it's got a same milk carton that you would tear open. Mm-hmm. You could still tear it open if you wanted to. It's got a cap on the side. Plastic, and you unscrew it and pour the milk out the side now. When did that come about? I can't even remember or even think of a time when I looked at that and said, whoa, they changed it. Just all of a sudden, milk is like this now. I take the cap off and pour it. I never thought anything of when they changed it.
They started it with orange juice. Do you remember when it was
orange juice? No, I don't remember anything.
I remember the
cartons. They pulled a switcheroo on us.
That was a switcheroo.
The same with the pencils that you use in school with the eraser on the back and everything, and normal people put in the sharpener and all that. And then what happened? All of a sudden, what am I using? A pencil with I buy new leads for and click the thing like a pen and the lead comes out. I never thought anything of it when it happened. I don't remember ever thinking, wow, that's a new thing. I'm just all of a sudden, I'm using this new pencil here and buying lead and buying new erasers to pop in the top with a little pin and sticking out of it. For what reason, I don't know.
Okay, hold your thoughts there and we'll go through it next week. Save that emotion you have right now. Like someone's pulling the wool over your eyes.
And on that note, on that note, do re mi fa sol la ti do.
I'm not going to sing the scale.
Yeah, you did something, though.
Yes, I did.
We'll see you next week. Harmony.
Okay. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. Bye. You're going to fix that. That's a mess. Because I think you're talking about your home screen.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email BigJD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, BigJD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.